We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
DFS pregame show here on Roto Grinders. I'm Jordan Cooper, aka Blender at Blender HD. If you want to follow me on Twitter, and it's Friday, May 20th. It's Fighting Friday. It's no longer Casual Friday. It's Fighting Friday, right? Because we're gonna fight, right? I see you guys in the chat. Are you fighting? Are you getting ready to rumble? As Jesse Atfield says in the chat, right? Fridays are now we focus a lot on UFC, on MMA. People, it's getting popular, or whatever, and. We have premium content here for UFC cards. The prize pools are big, 100K to first, large field GPP on DraftKings. So this is kind of like the free MMA content. But you can subscribe to Roto Grinders Premium. Click on the link in the description, get $10 off your first month, right? Be part of the combo premium, right? Because you'll get the MMA as part of that. And there's an article and the Ground and Pound podcast, the expert survey. Liam does some fight picks and Squirrel Patrol sometimes has a contrarian's take. And I'm going to be getting a little bit more involved in that. So if you want to come behind the paywall, I think starting the next week, there's no card and I'll be in Las Vegas. And then the week after that, maybe I'll be part of some stuff in behind the premium stuff here, but I'll always be here on Friday. Maybe we'll bring some people on, maybe Mike Brown, H3 Boodle will come on, or Keith or something on Fridays, and we'll talk about the DFS strategy for the UFC slate, because there's not much strategic content. You know, I focus not on what is going to be the outcome of the fights, but more of how can we make plus EV lineups, especially for large field GPPs. And you guys, I got a lot of guys in the chat that do play UFC. We've got Suki Singh. Good morning, Hog Lawrence. Suki says, I would like to do a shout out for you. Oh, Suki's shouting me out for helping everyone with their DFS journey. It has been a giant help to me since I've been watching you. Thank you so much for what you do. Well, thank you for watching. Thank you for putting up with my garbage, right? A lot of people don't like me, right? They're like, the blunt New Yorker, right? You know, the condescending or something like that. I'm just trying to help you. I'm really, it may come across as like, you know, kind of antagonistic or something. I yell at some people, but I want to do the right thing, right? I just give 100% of what I know. That's it. That's all I'm doing, right? And sometimes there is no right answer. Sometimes it's like, well, you have to weigh through some things and there's no, who's going to win? I have no idea, you know, that type of stuff. So I have to get you to think in the mindset, you know, the game theory driven mindset. of how to beat a peer-to-peer game against other people. And it's not necessarily about predicting stuff better than others, right? So that's what we focus on this show, the DFS strategy. Good morning, Doug Montgomery, Real Life Picture, Joe Mack, Kickstart, right? Metal Alloy is here at the Ultimate Friday Club, right? UFC, it's Fighting Friday, or Fisting Friday. No, I don't think we want to put that on the title, right? Hopefully that doesn't come out in the transcript. Maybe we'll be demonetized by calling it Fisting Friday, but probably not. So we got a small 11 fight card tomorrow, another small one. So it's going to be a little bit tougher to be unique, right? We got one humongous favorite, well, not huge favorite, but Jelton Almeida at 9,400. He's 300 more than any other fighter. We got a fairly uninteresting main event between Holly Holm and Ketlin Vieira. If that's mostly a stand-up affair, this may be a main event that maybe you'd be a little bit light on. Maybe the main event goes over-owned. And then we got a lot of interesting fights in the mid-range, right? A lot of the field is going to be focused on this mid-range because some of these dogs are, the dogs are not necessarily the greatest of underdogs, but we could take a look at my worksheet. I have it filled in with the RG stuff in here. And the current odds, I updated this a couple of, you know, two or three hours ago. And yeah, people are typing in Fisting into the chat, and it's holding it for review. So probably don't type in Fisting, right? It's not going to work out for you. Let's see. So from the looks of it, ownership wise, I mean, I think a lot of ownership is going to be going to Almeida at 9,400. And Holmes and Chidi and Njokwani, I don't know, I'm just going to call him Chidi, right? Holmes is 49% inside the distance. Chidi's 51% inside the distance. Almeida's 71%, 52% in the first round. So a lot of lineups are going to be Almeida, Holmes, Chidi, you know, doing something like that. They're going to have to pick one underdog, right? So like if a lot of people are going to be on Holmes and Chidi, I think a leverage on the Todorovic and Amadovsky. I mean, their inside the distance isn't that bad. Amadovsky 24%, Dusko 19%. The problem with these guys are that if you actually watch them fight, you probably wouldn't want to take them, right? You probably wouldn't want to, right? Dusko Todorovic has almost no striking defense, and Chidi is a power punching striker. So Dusko could wrestle, right? But I mean, if a lot of people are going to be on Chidi playing the direct leverage game, playing the opponent, we'll give you, I mean, and he comes up decently, right? If he's going to be like 14% owned, he's a bit under-owned. Amadovsky, 16%, he's a bit under-owned. Amadovsky hasn't fought in 3 years, right? And truthfully, he's not UFC quality, right? And he typically wins in the first round or like dies. But that's like he hasn't fought in 3 years. So when a guy hasn't fought in 3 years, either they're going to be rusty. Like, did they improve in 3 years? It's quite possible they barely paid attention. They're coming in, they're getting a paycheck, and don't expect much. Or it could be maybe he did improve in 3 years. Who knows? He's facing Joseph Holmes, who's not trustworthy either, right? Joseph Holmes isn't someone that you want to really put money on either. So, like, that fight is high variance, right? I like to look for the high variance fights and try to go, like, to the other side of what most people are doing. So, like, the high variance fights on this slate are even Almeida Porter is a high variance fight. It's a heavyweight fight, right? Almeida stepping up to heavyweight from light heavyweight. Porter typically has to cut down to heavyweight, but Porter is just basically a big dude, right? Can Almeida take him down? Like the question on this slate with Almeida is not necessarily whether or not he wins, but does he put up enough points for 9,400, right? Because there are instances where Almeida wins with six takedowns and he has 140 points or something. Yeah, that's there's an outcome for that. There's also an outcome where he wins really early. One takedown, submission, 95 points. Will 95 points be enough? Now, on this slate, there aren't that many great ITD lines. So maybe 95, even at 9,400, will be one of the top six scorers on the slate. And especially at the top, maybe top three scorers, it's possible. But there's also instances where Almeida isn't able to finish him until the second round. And maybe he only scores 82. Maybe not till a third round. And maybe he ends up with 70 points. Maybe he wins a decision. So it's not just a matter of, oh, if I don't think Almeida could finish him in the first round, I'm going to play Parker Porter, right? Just like, well, maybe you just don't play Almeida, right? And obviously Parker Porter is going to be heavy leverage against what I believe is going to be a 62% owned fighter. And at 6,800, I mean, what does he really have to do on an 11 fight card? He just win. If he wins, even with like 60 points in a decision, he could still make the optimal there. But also, he may still miss the optimal, right? We saw last week with Petroski. Petroski was the lowest owned, lowest priced fighter. He put up 91.6 points, and he wasn't in the optimal. Now, he was in the winning GPP lineup, but he wasn't in the nuts lineup. The nuts lineup would have left 2,100 on the table and not had him, right? Not had him in it, but no one had it. Okay, so technically, he missed. He was the seventh highest scoring fighter on that slate last week. So this is what I do. So I compare the betting lines with the ownership, right? And I put in the median projection to give some weight to it, right? I also put in other sources, but I'm not necessarily going to show you that today. But then just compare the two. So Almeida, I mean, still rates out as, you know, the best play on the slate. I mean, he's 9,400 and he finishes in the first round more than half the time. So like that's 90 to 100 points right there. So that's what it's rated for, like the chances of scoring 100 plus. Okay. And then on the bottom end, we got Todorovic and Amadovsky, right? I think the Morales-Medic fight is a high variance fight that plus 155 and plus 210. So 39%, 32% inside the distance. That fight more than likely ends inside the distance. So high variance. Medic coming from the Alaskan regional scene, not very trustworthy, right? Because it sucks. He pretty much, I don't think he's fought more than 6 minutes in any fight in his career. Right. I think he's gotten to the second round once. So and he's not really even a wrestler. So it's basically he's just going to charge at you and either knock you out in the first round or probably die himself. Right. Morales isn't that great of a finisher. But if Medic is basically has 3 minutes of cardio, Morales can knock him out also. So I thought the fights that I'm looking to target are Morales, Medic, Holmes, Amadovsky, Chidi, Todorovic, Almeida, Parker, a Porter. The Ricci Viana women's fight has the potential to put up a good amount of score because Viana is someone both these fighters like fighting on the ground, and if they're going to be a lot of ground exchanges, that's a lot of points on DraftKings. And Viana tends to pull guard a lot, so like it's quite possible that Ricci has a lot of top control time, right? And if Viana can't get a submission, you know, an armbar from guard, or, you know, some type of sweep to a leg lock or whatever, it's quite possible that, like, Viana seems like more of the type of fighter that needs a finish to get 100 points than Ricci. Because Ricci could just end up winning a decision with 12 minutes of control time just in Viana's guard. So that fight may go a little bit under-owned. Like, based on my ratings, those are the fights that are a little bit under-owned for their potential. Maybe not on the Chidi side for the Chidi Dusko, right? Chidi and Holmes are like the kind of maybe slightly overowned sides, the favorite side. And Todorovic and Amadovsky are the underowned dog side. The overowned fights, like I think Eric Anders goes overowned. But I don't think that many people are playing Park and Martinez. So that makes some interesting, you know, situations up there. If they're only around 20% owned, I mean, it's an 11 fight card, so like they're going to be 20% owned, but they don't rate out even all that well with inside the distance lines of like 24-25%. But people are going to have to find these dogs to fit in Almeida, Holmes, and Chidi. You're going to have to find some dogs, and I think people will go for Anders or Morales because they're not playing Parker Martinez, or they're going to go for Ketlin Vieira, the dog in the 5-round fight, because you know, Holmes is not necessarily a finisher, right? It's most likely going to go 5 rounds. And in a 5-round affair with not many, you know, takedowns, you know, the dog has a good chance of winning, right? So I think people are going to go there, but I think that fight is overowned. I think the Pereira-Ponzinibbio fight may be one of the more entertaining fights of the night, but I think that's going overowned because they're inside the distance. Pereira's 25% and Ponzinibbio's 22%. This fight goes the distance more times than not, but it should be a high-paced fight. Pereira probably lands more takedowns. Ponzinibbio is probably more active on the feet striking. But I think for its pay, people are going to target it because it's the $8,200, $8,000 fight, right? So, you know, it's a toss up and it's cheaper. They could give you 90 points and be optimal at that range. and people are going to target it. So I think it's a little overowned. I think the Reed Hughes fight is maybe the worst fight on the slate. Reed at 8,500, plus 490 inside the distance, and she's really not a wrestler. So it's like, it's hard to imagine, you know, how often does she get 100 points? Not that often. Hughes, at least at 7,700, does she need 100 points? No. But at plus 525, doesn't rate all that well at 20% ownership. We take a look at the Kolaris-Hooper fight. That may be a mess. This may be a messy fight. Two fighters that are not necessarily great strikers, right? And Kolaris is not even that great of a wrestler, and Hooper has like no strength, right? Hooper is essentially a BJJ specialist. So if Hooper could get it to the ground, he has a chance of putting up a top score. But if this fight stays on its feet, this may be something you don't want. This may be a very sloppy fight between two really lower level fighters. I know Hooper is a prospect, but really he's shown nothing outside of, you know, his submission game. This could be a fight where Kolaris just wants to stay on the feet and, you know, ends up looking like really, really bad striking battle. But that fight is okay. I have it rated like mid-range. Like it's okay. It's there. Anything else as far as like fight breakdown type of thing? Just looking at comparing the odds versus ownership. I mean, I gave you a little context into what the fight should look like, but it's MMA. The variance is very high. You know, one punch, one takedown, one slip changes the whole course of the fight, and that could happen at any time. Josh Shock says Porter at $20 on FanDuel is absurd. At 20, wow. Yeah, he's going to be low owned at that price on FanDuel. Hog Lawrence says four women in the optimal. How could there be four women in the optimal? I mean, what, if you're stacking, there's only three female fights. So you're saying what, Holm and Vieira? I think Vieira has a good shot at the optimal if no underdog wins. So if like it's all favorites and Vieira Holm goes the distance, and Vieira has 48 to 55 points or something like that, she could still be in the optimal. So I'm more likely to play a little bit more Vieira than Morales, Anders, and Porter because, you know, if we don't get any dogs winning, the highest scoring dog is going to be in the optimal, especially if the top end starts, if Almeida scores 130 points or something. So like, even though Vieira's rating is quite low, I may be a little bit more prone to play her than the three round fighters. So that's the only thing, but whether to have to have four women in the optimal, I don't think so. No, I mean, maybe it's low owned. Jesse asked, be able to ask him for some secret sauce, but do heavyweight women or five round fights bake into your final rating? No, they're just there for context, right? They're there more for variance context, right? I know heavyweight fights tend to be high variance, either very slow and high variance, like because the power at that weight class, like one punch can end the fight. And then women's fights tend to not have knockouts, but typically the UFC stats service is a little bit more generous on significant strikes for women, right? A lot of times people don't roster the women's fights as much as they should because the inside the distance lines tend to be lower, which makes sense, right? But we've seen in women's MMA for the striking stats, a lot of times like strikes that may not be significant for the men may be significant for the women. So you see some of these like 107 points and you're like, how did she get 137 significant strikes? It didn't seem like there were strikes, but maybe not, you know, ground strikes, top control, that type of little jab here in top control. A lot of times that's a ground strike, just not significant for a man, but it ends up being significant for a woman. Is that sexist? I have no idea. But that's why I put that context there. And obviously the five round fights, right? Just for general context. But it's that these notes don't weigh into anything. It's already accounted for in the projection, right? That type of thing anyway. But it's there just so I mark, so I know what's what. Okay. So one thing when you're playing large field GPPs or even when you're playing small field GPPs, we talked about last week, is figuring out combinations, okay? So for instance, a lot of times, the first thing you should be doing is figuring out the lineups that you shouldn't be playing, right? Because there's not enough combinations that you're going to be duped too many times. So for instance, on this slate, we have Almeida, Holmes, Chidi, as a popular combo, right? The three highest owned fighters that are favorites. Okay. Gives you an average remaining salary of 7,700. Right. And assuming you're not stacking anything, I want to figure out how many combinations can I play this lineup in a large field GPP, in a small field? Like how many combinations are there? And then divide the combinations by how many lineups do you expect to have these three fighters in it? Okay. So I'm going to run this, but this is 53, 44, and 52. So I made a little spreadsheet just to show you. Last week I did it by hand, conceptually, but I made this little combo calculator, okay, just to show how to figure out how many lineups, how many average dupes, what's the payout look like if you max entered, what the ROI would be. And I'm using first place, like I'm not basing on the second place ties and everything, so it's not exact, but just to show as an example. So we have three fighters, 53, 52, and 44, okay? So we put that in, 53, 52, and 44. So on average, 12% of the lineups, right? If we multiply the product ownership of these three fighters is 12.13%. So we could estimate that about 12% of this combination will be in these contests. So in the large field $15, that's 3,804 lineups that have all these three fighters in. Okay. Now, how many combinations are remaining out of the three that are left? Now, you could set this up in Excel, which I didn't do. I use Lineup HQ, right? Set it at 300 and go, how many combinations are there, right? No matter what salary or anything. And how many combinations that don't have stacks of fights, okay? Now, obviously, you can get more combinations if you don't mind. Oh, I'm just going to stack the Morales-Medich fight, right? And on occasion, on a blue moon, some of those lineups end up being optimal, especially when all the favorites win. But most of the time, you almost never should. If you just by default never stack the fight, you'd probably be better off. So by default, I'm acting like the combinations don't include a stacked fighter. Josh Shocks asks, so would you be willing to share the copy of the combinations calculator in Discord by chance? Yes. Right, I could share that sheet. So if you go on the Blender's Game Theory channel, right? I'll make it premium. There you go. You got to be premium. You go on the Blender's Game Theory channel, just post a note in there, Josh, just so I remember. And I'll share that sheet. It's not that hard to set up. It's not. Right? It's multiplication and division. You're not really doing much. Okay. So there's 71 combinations remaining, right? Some of them are low. I mean, some of them may not be all that dupe, right? 48-5 lineup with Vince Morales, Anders, and Vieira, right? Basically the three underdogs, three biggest underdogs, right? This combination. So there's 71 combinations. So if we put that in, 71 combinations, right? So basically there's 3,800 lineups about, right? This is an estimate, right? 12% of the lineups will have these three fighters in it, all three fighters in it. So that's 3,800 lineups. But out of these 3,800, there's only 71 combinations. So on average, each of these lineups will be duped 53 times. So if you split $100,000 53 times, that's $1,851. Now, obviously, it doesn't count 50,000 for second place and all the other places. I'm not going to also make a payout sheet. You would make a payout sheet, and you could do that in Excel. I'm just doing it for sample sakes, right? In general. So like in the, if you maxed out the throwdown, the $150 max entry contest, so that's $2,250, your first place payout would be $1,851 and you'd have minus 17 ROI. And of course that doesn't count all the other lineups of cash. I'm just going based on this, just to give you an example. So out of the 71 combinations, now some of these combinations may not be duped 53 times. Some of the combinations may be duped 80 and some may be duped 12. Right? Especially if you're leaving more salary on the table. This is just giving you an idea, right? This calculator is more for estimation purposes more than anything. But like, if you were going to play that line, a combination of that lineup in the knockout, the 555 or the $200 three max, that would be fine. You could play all these three fighters and still end up with a lineup that is not duplicated on average. Okay. Because there's only 200 entries. There's only 166 entries. So you're fine there. In the hook, you wouldn't be fine. You'd be even worse, right? Average dupe 16 out of 1,153 lineups, right? In the haymaker, you'd barely be profitable, right? 108%. You double your money, right? Because you're putting in $60 and you're getting back 125. Okay. So you could use this to see how many dupes. Now, let's take these three fighters, okay, and let's set a salary minimum. Because a lot of people will play lineups that are like 49.5 and above, right? Something like that. So let's see how many combinations are not at, there's 71 total combinations, but how many combinations are 49.5 or above? So I'm going to just build and see where it stops. 51, okay? So there's 20 lineups that are under 49.5, and there's 51 lineups that are over, okay? So if there are 51 combinations, like now you're getting in the range of like, yeah, you could play that lineup in the 555 or the 200, but average dupes are double digits in all these contests, probably not a good lineup. Now the 20 lineups that are under 49.5, how many combinations of that? Well, there's still, if you had 20, okay, no, I can't do it this way, right? I can't just, right, because, right, it's not just 20, right? So 51, there's 51 combinations, 71 total, right? So probably the average dupes of the lineups at 49.5 and plus are probably going to be more in the 60-70 range, and the ones that are under 49.5 will go significantly down. Okay, so we're looking at this. So now let's say we add another fighter to this. Okay, let's say we add Kellen Vieira, right? Probably the most owned underdog. Okay, so that's a 29% owned fighter. So we're going to do that, 29% there. So that represents about 3.52% of all lineups in the contest. 1103 in the large field, $15. Okay, how many combinations of the remaining two fighters are there if our minimum salary is whatever? Doesn't matter. So I'm gonna run it and let's see. Where does it stop? 37. So 37 lineup combinations. So we put that in. 37 combinations of 3.52% of the lineups in the contest. Okay, so in the large field contest, you're duped on average 29 times. The Haymaker, 13 times. Right, but it's also a flatter payout, right? So if you max entered the main GPP for 2250, first place is with that lineup on average is going to be $3,300. So really, really not worth it. It's really not worth it. So this lineup with these four combination of players with the fighters has 37 combinations, and it's probably duped too much. So like what I would do is most likely group these guys out, right? We could take a look here about lineups that leave a ton of salary on the table because they may be less duplicated. So here's a 48.5 lineup. Okay, so maybe if you wanted to play a lineup with all four of these fighters in it, maybe you play this lineup or this 48.8 lineup with Hooper and Anders. Here's Hughes and Anders, right? Morales and Hooper. So you have multiple underdogs, right? You need to leave a bunch of money on the table. But at the high end of this range, 50,000, like don't play this lineup, right? Vieira, Medich, Pereira, Holmes, Chidi, Almeida. I mean, look at the ownership here, right? We could even put in the exact lineup, right? Let's say we put in the exact lineup. So we got all these fighters. The last two fighters are 27 and 26% owned, okay? What is it? 26 and 27, right? So we put 27, 26. Right? Okay. So that represents 0.25% of all lineups. So basically, that's 77 lineups in the main GPP, right? But how many combinations of this there? There's only one, right? Because we're putting in all the fighters, right? So we put in all the fighters. This would be a negative EV line, right? Because it's on average, you could expect this to be duped 77 times. So you can put in the exact lineup if you want in, and see, do you have enough leverage that it's not duped too much, right? In the knockout, in the try, look at this lineup. Very heavily owned, but in the smaller field stuff, right? The 555, you're fine. You're absolutely fine with this lineup. There may not be enough lineups where there that you have to even worry about duplication. Look, even I, what's the most owned lineup I can make? I mean, let's see. Let's run this. I mean, what is the most owned lineup? Is that the okay? Omar Morales and Kolaris are in there somewhere. So, like, let me. I'm gonna run this and see what the most owned lineup is. Okay. So I'm just gonna run 100 and see what the most owned lineup in the top 100 is. Because you'll see for the smaller field stuff, like you almost don't have to worry about duplication. Will you be duped on occasion? Yes, you will. Right? But on average, there's enough combinations. Okay, so let's go to the total pwn highest, 237. So we got 53. Okay, so you get Morales in there also. So 53, 52. Let's do this. 53, 52, 44. Then 34, 29, 23. 34, 29, 23. Okay? So here we go. So that we expect that to be duplicated about 86 times in the $15 throwdown, right? Unprofitable lineup. $1,100 payout or something? It's unprofitable in all of these contests, right? The haymaker, the hook, the armbar. In the knockout, you may get one dupe, right? Like most likely you may be the only one with it, but you're getting close to the line of maybe dupe once. The triangle, probably not at all, right? So even the most owned lineup in these smaller field contests, you don't really have to worry about duplication, right? Now, obviously, the only way to win the 555 with this type of lineup is basically all the chalk has to, right? So it'll be, if this is a high scoring slate, this lineup will be the winner. But if you're rooting for a low scoring slate where you don't have to be perfect, like if this ends up being the winner in the 555, it most likely is also going to be the winner in the large field also, right? It's going to be something like that, right? Because you have so many chalky players in there, right? So a lot of times in the smaller field stuff, duplication is, I don't really care that much for, right? It doesn't affect me that much. I care more about leverage than I do about duplication. But in the large field stuff, you definitely have to consider duplication. Go through the YouTube chat. Medic is interesting. Josh Schott says he could be the 60-second finisher, but as soon as he gets hits, he shuts down and shells up. Yeah, it's a high-variance fight. Derek Phillips says this is one of the ugliest cards I've ever seen. Winning lineup will be chaotic. Yes, it's a high. This is a low-level card and a high-variance fight. So my suggestion is the higher variance it is, exploit the field's overconfidence. People look at that Chidi Todorovic fight and go, well, Dusko doesn't have any striking defense. Chidi's going to just destroy him. Is that true? I mean, it's not. I mean, we take a look at the odds. I mean, Chidi's a 71% chance to win, right? Which is high. But Dusko is 32%. I mean, like, that's not nothing. That's not nothing. Apparently in Colorado, it's snowing. It's snowing. It was 80 degrees yesterday and it's snowing today. Okay. Welcome to the jet stream. But I like showing this combo calculator to get you in the mindset of figuring out the combinations and seeing what type of lineups that you should be playing over others, right? And you could do that with anything, right? You could go through and use this. Obviously, you could use Excel. You could simulate. You could, like, generate lineups. But let's say you want to know, like, the combo. Like, if I play Almeida Holm, right, and Holmes or Chidi or something, or Holmes, because he's a little bit more expensive, right? Almeida, Holmes, right? 53, 34, 44, okay? Average remaining salary, 75, 67. And you go, okay, how many combinations are there of this? Okay, so we got 53, 44, 34. So let's put that in, 53, 34, 44. So that's about 7.93% of lineups. Okay. How many combinations exist of this? Right. Or even the three highest priced. Let's say we do the three highest priced players together. Okay. Right. We can't even do the four highest price because you only have one guy under 6,800. Okay. So we got 53, 34, and 26. Okay, 26. So that's 4.69% of lineups, about. estimate. Okay, so we'll run this. I'll put it at 300 and see how many combinations of these three fighters. Seven. Is there only seven? Is that true? That's weird. Right? Can there only be seven? Yeah, because they can't, without stacking the fighter, right? Because you can't play Porter, you can't play Vieira, and you can't play Anders. And your average remaining salary is 7,500. Okay? So there's literally seven combinations of that. Even though you're not playing, look, you're not playing Chalky, you're not playing Chidi, you're not playing Holmes, but because of the salary restraints and the fact that you're not stacking, there's only seven combinations remaining of this, right? Because you're not going to play their opponents. There's only seven combinations out of 4.69% of the lineups on average. You put in the combinations of seven, these lineups are going to be duped ridiculously amount. They contain less chalky play. They don't contain the three chalkiest players, but because of salary, these lineups are going to be heavily, they're going to be duped more than the other lineups because there's less combinations, right? This would be a lineup that you wouldn't even play in the knockout or the triangle, right? It may be duped, right? This may be duped one or two times, even this combination. Right? Because you have to play Amendola. You have to play. It forces you into certain lineups. You can't even leave that much salary on the table. What's the lowest salary line? 49.7. Right? Because there's only so many, you're paying so much up here. So let's say we now change Holly Jung Young Park to Jonathan Martinez, who's only 21% owned. Right? So we move 26 to 21. 26 to 21. So that represents 3.78% of lineups. But there aren't going to be that many combinations, right? Because now Anders is in play because you're not playing Park, right? But I still don't expect there to be many combinations of this. 14, okay? So that's a little bit better, but you're putting 14 into this, right? 14 combinations of 3% of lineups is still, look how many dupes there are. 84 on average, right? You may be fine in the knockout and the triangle. You may be fine. You're close to being duped, but you may be fine. So though this combination isn't, because there's only so many combinations, right? And it's not, and you're not even leaving salary on the table to get them. 49.5 is the lowest, okay? So let's go to the next highest. So let's say instead of Almeida home, and we do Holmes in this lineup, okay? Well, that's higher ownership. So we don't even want to go down there. So let's say we go down to Felipe Colares, right? We take Martinez and go down to Colares. Okay, he's 34. So we're going to put in 53, 34, 34. So about 6% of lineups have this combination. You're going to have a little bit more leeway. You're going to have, because now you can play Todorovic, Amadoski, Morales, and Anders. So we're going to run, see how many combinations there are. 42. Okay, so you're a little bit better. But they represent 6% of the lineups. So like 42 of these, look, you're still duped 45 times. Right. I mean, you may be fine. You may be fine in the smaller field stuff, but in a large field, that combination is still, because there's just not enough combinations of the other three fighters. Right. Let's see what the lowest salary ones of these are. So maybe they're viable. 49,000. So maybe you're able to play maybe these 49.1, 49.2, because you have to expect the 50K lineups, the ones over here, are going to be more than 45 dupes. And these are going to be maybe under 10, right? Because people don't leave salary on the table. So this is what you should be doing, right? Based on what I showed before with the Almeida home park, right? There's only seven combinations of this. And these are the ownerships. They're still owned enough that this is the type of thing where I'd group them out. I should say that there's no lineup that's worth playing in the large field contest with these three fighters together. You group them out and you say max two or something. And maybe you put Martinez in there also. Right. Let's say we take out Almeida now and we run the three highest and don't run Almeida, right? Because you're not going to be able to fit Almeida in this lineup because it's 6,800. You need two fighters. So Almeida can't fit into these lineups. So if you play a lineup with Holm, Park, and Martinez, you can't play Almeida. So this is 34, 26, 21. So let's do that. 34, 26, 21. That represents 1.86% of lineups as an estimate. Okay. And let's see how many combinations. You're not going to get that many combinations of this Average remaining salary is 76.67, but you could use, now you could use Porter in this lineup because you're not playing Almeida, right? So we're going to run this. Let's see how many combinations there are. 57. Okay, so we put that in. We put 57 in here. Oh, now we're fine. Average dupes 10. Right? In the arm bar, you could be the only one with it. Right? In the knockout and triangle, you're fine also. Right? You're definitely fine. But look, 10 dupes. So playing all three like that with no Almeida, right? We take a look at ownership. We take a look at salary. Maybe this lineup is used a little bit more, right? Hughes, Medic, Todorovic, these 50K lineups, because the average dupes is 10. So these lineups may be duped 16 to 18 times. And then on the bottom end of the salary, we got 48.7. This may be a unique lineup completely, right? Porter, Todorovic, Amendovsky, and leaving 1,300 on the table, right? So these lineups, average dupes, right? This is the whole thing we're estimating, average dupes of 10. That means the ones at the higher end of the salary range may be duped 20 times. The ones at the low end may be unique. But since the average is 10, you're in a good range. Now you're in a good, you could play these three fighters together. And there are enough combinations remaining that even though these three fighters represent 1.86% of the total field, but like the total field in a $200 contest is what? Two lineup, one or two lineups. Right, so if you're playing that any lineup with any of the three combinations, you're most likely not running into a dupe. So you're fine in the 555. You could just go through and see what combinations are more or less likely to be duped based on the ownership, based on the number of combinations available, based on salary. Maybe you just want to eliminate all the combinations of 49.7 and above of some of the higher ones. But if you're playing a lot of if you're playing, let's say, very contrarian lineup, like let's say you're playing Jonathan Martinez with Elise Reed and Jung Young Park, right? And Holly Holm, right? 72.50, right? Okay. Are there combinations? Can we make? You have to play Porter in this lineup. It's going to be Porter and okay. They're going to be a couple of combinations. So here's a very contrarian lineup. You're playing the under all the players that people aren't playing in this high range, right? So you're playing 34, 26. So let's do this. 34, 26. Then we got 21 and 21. 21 and 21. Oh, why am I getting this down here to 21? Hold on. Let me format this. I'll just copy. Copy, paste. Okay. So these four fighters, 0.39% of lineups. So how many combinations are there of this? Probably only a couple. Not zero? It can't be true. 72, 50. Okay, we play Parker Porter. And then you got 7,700. So you should be able to play people, right? Can't play Reed. You could play Hooper. Yeah, something's going off on why we can't. Why can't we play Hooper in this lineup? Hooper, Todorovic, Amendovsky, we could play. You can't play Morales. So this should be at least three line. I mean, I don't know why it's coming at zero. There should be three lineups that you should be able to play in this. So let's say there are three. Okay, you're putting in Porter also at 6%. Put Porter at 6%, and there's three lineups that are like that. Look, this is perfectly fine. Look at how many lack of dupes. Those four fighters, there's only three combinations. You could play all three of the combinations and be perfectly fine. In the throwdown, average dupes 2. Right? So there you go. Okay, these lineups are fine. And if we take a look at the salary of that type of lineup, we put in Hooper, right? Right, you can't put in Hughes, right? Okay, so here's a 49.9 lineup. I'm gonna even put in Hooper into this. 23? 23, and there's one lineup available. Like, dude, this lineup is most likely unique. Or a dupe twice, and this spends 49.9. So a lot of people that are like, I'm not going to play any lineup that's 49.5 or above. It's like, no, there are lineups that are unique that are above 49.5. Of course, they're very contrarian, but they still exist. And especially in an 11-fight card, there aren't as many combinations. 15-fight card, you got a lot more options. So playing a lineup like this, if you set your salary minimum at 49.5 or 49.2 or whatever, 49.8, you're going to miss this lineup. Now, are there many lineups? Like, obviously, if you set your minimum at 49.5, your max at 49.5, you're eliminating, like, a lot of lineups that are over 49.5 are too duplicated, right? Like, 90% of them could be too duplicated. But there are 10% there are. So, like, you could just use the blunt force type of thing and just say, no, if I don't make this lineup here, this 49.9K lineup, I'm fine. I'll find other lineups. That's perfectly fine also. But just understand that you're locked. This slate could happen, and I could win solo $100,000. You'll look at my lineup and go, wow, that was a 49.9 lineup. And it was solo. It was unique. Wow, that was weird, right? Someone won with a solo 50K lineup. Yeah, it happens, right? It's just extremely contrary. Typically, when the total chaos and all the chalk fails type of thing. Yeah, that's going to be unique. To me, these are the things that are more important than figuring out who's going to win the fight or anything, right? These are things that you could control. I can't control the fights. I can't control what happens. But I could control the ownership, the betting lines versus ownership, versus dupes, versus, you know, compared to the field size. And make sure I'm not playing lineups that are too duplicated. And if a duplicated lineup wins, that 84-way dupe, like, that's everyone's negative EV in the contest. It's like, oh, well, everyone, 84-way tie for first, and everyone gets $1,600 or whatever it is. And I didn't get that. It's like, it's not profitable. Those lineups are not profitable in the long run. If you're playing just one lineup, maybe you don't mind being duped 84 ways because you're going to make money, right? On that, you're going to make more money than maxing out or playing 50 lineups or 100 lineups. But in the long run, those lineups are still negative. Okay, anything else before we get out of here? Daniel Hutchins says high variance in DFS is better for good players. That's correct. Josh Shock says, would you rather gain leverage by going overweight on a chalkier player, going underweight fade, and just hope it's not the nuts? I don't think in terms of overweight and underweight. I think in terms of building plus EV lineups. Exposures are just based on your own risk tolerance. I'm most likely going to be overexposed to under-owned fighters because they add more expected value to your lineups. How much I went, that's all risk tolerance. That's all a matter of if I look at my model and I go, oh, look, Amendosky rates out as the best underdog. Like, I could have him in 80% of my line. I could. There are a lot of Amendosky plus EV lineups. So there are also plus EV lineups without Amendosky. I don't have to play all of them. So whether or not I'm over or under, like, that doesn't matter. Just build plus EV lineups. I could choose to find 100 lineups that don't have Amendosky in it that are still plus EV, even though he rates out well as an underdog at 16%. I could do that, right? I'm just looking to play 100 plus EV lineups. That's all I'm looking to do. How you diversify is all based on your own risk tolerance. Just make sure you're playing plus EV lineups. Monster asked, is Bricklock in Chase tomorrow? I don't know. So here you go. I mean, this is MMA DFS. This is what I'm doing, right? Figuring this type of stuff out. What lineups are going to be too duped so I can get rid of them, right? And you could just easily do this. Now, obviously, it depends on the ownership. If you're off on ownership, you're going to be off on this. If we look at this and you go, oh, Eric Anders, 27%, and he ends up being 20%, obviously your figures are going to be off, right? Those Anders lineups that you thought were too duped may not be, maybe some of them are not, are under 10, under 5, unique. So it also relies on having decent ownership projections. So if you want this combo calculator, I don't know, can I share the sheet? Can I just share the sheet? Let's see. Canada. Is there a way to share a sheet on Google Sheets? Can I? I don't know. I'll see. Or maybe I'll make it into Excel and then I'll just post it in the Blender's Game Theory channel. Right? I'll download. Can I download the sheet? I don't use Google Sheets. Right? Microsoft Excel. Can I just do that? Download Microsoft Excel document. Call it the combo calculator. And I'll share it in, because I'll just get rid of the other sheets. Right. So let me open this in Excel. So I'm assuming you could also put it. Right. Combo calculator. Yeah, because you could put it in Google Sheets also. So I'm gonna delete these. Yeah, I'll do this. Woo! I'll do this when I get off and I'll post it in the Blender's Game Theory channel. So if you're a premium member, RotoGrinders Premium, go join the Blender's Game Theory channel in our Discord. Click on the link in the description, get $10 off your first month. And like I said, starting 2 weeks from now, the next card, I'll be part of some of the premium MMA content. So you get more of my thoughts as they break down the fights and everything from a strategic angle. So join me there. Hit that thumbs up button on your way out the door. Give me those thumbing thumbs. Hit the subscribe button if you're new here. Hit the notification bell to know when we go live later today, 2:00 on the Scores and Odds channel. Grant with live locks, prop bets, and everything like that for the sports books. 5:00 is Grinders Live for MLB. 6:30, Crunch Time, free, presented by FanDuel, is for the right before lock for the MLB slate tonight. It's a pretty decent big slate for MLB. And then I will be back on Monday talking with James McCool. And then I'll be off for a while. Then I'll be in Vegas for a week or so. So come back on Monday and we'll be talking DFS strategy, as I always do on the DFS pregame show on RotoGrinders.com.